Good morning. Certainly thankful that you are here this morning. And I do want to make one comment concerning what Alan said earlier. It's hard to believe that Susan has put up with him for 40 years. She will certainly get some extra stars in her crown, I think. All right, somebody has to defend her. All right. Where is God today? Do you feel his presence right here with you this morning? God is here. God cares. God loves you. For that, we are extremely thankful. I want to look at some verses, first from the Old Testament, and then we will go into the New Testament, regarding the very presence of God. Beginning in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16, it came about on the third day when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. And when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Can you imagine what that was like? The earth quaking, the fire, all of the things that were going on, the people trembling at the presence of God. What a magnificent scene that must have been. And a few verses before that, in Exodus 19 and verse 9, we read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever.'" So again, we see the very presence of God designated by a thick cloud. So imagine this scene when more than 2 million people were covered by the presence of God. The children of Israel were gathered at the foot of the holy mountain, Mount Sinai, waiting for God to let his presence be known. And they were told to clean their clothing. Their bodies were to be pure. And they were to consecrate themselves. That is, they were to set themselves apart for the glory of God. Not only was God's presence manifested in a thick cloud enveloping the mountain, but also in thunder and lightning and a very loud trumpet sound. The children of God trembled at his magnificent presence as the mountain appeared to be on fire. The whole mountain quaked violently. I thought it would be interesting this morning to look at some biblical references to God appearing in the clouds of heaven. And remember that his appearing in the clouds indicated his very presence, his protection, his mercy. The second time that Moses went to the top of the mountain to receive the law of God, the glory of the Lord was manifested by a cloud that covered Mount Sinai for 6 days, we're told in Exodus 24, verses 16 through 18. And on the seventh day, God called Moses to himself from the midst of the cloud. And when God led his children out of Egyptian bondage, he provided them with constant reminders of his presence. This actually was before what we had seen, but listen to what is said in Exodus chapter 13. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And again, remember, this had to be a huge pillar of cloud and a huge pillar of fire to cover more than 2 million people. What a scene that must have been. What a feeling that the people must have had to know that the presence of God was right there. But even then, they doubted God, even when his presence was known. When Israel grumbled in the wilderness and indicated they wanted to return to Egypt, God again made his presence visible to his people. That manifestation gave credence to the messengers and the message of God's chosen spokesman. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 10, it came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. When Moses would enter the tent or the tabernacle to receive instructions from God, God would appear in a pillar of cloud. Let's look at Exodus chapter 33, verses 9 and 10. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Can you imagine? All of those tents and all of those people bowing down to worship God because they knew the presence of God was right there with them. When Aaron, the high priest, entered the Holy of Holies, God would make his presence known there. In Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, or he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." Of course, what he's referring to there is that Aaron was not to go in and out of the most holy place, but one time per year, only one day per year. Actually, I think he entered into the most holy place 3 times on that day. He had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins, and he had to offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But he was permitted to go on the Day of Atonement. At the Feast of Dedication, when the great temple of Solomon was completed, God's presence was again gloriously demonstrated. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, "Truly, he is good. Truly, his loving kindness is everlasting." In the passage regarded by most as a messianic passage, Isaiah prophesies concerning the protection that God will provide for his people. In Isaiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy, and there will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. Let's now move to the New Testament and remember this concept of the presence of God in the clouds and how that brought glory to God from the people. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God appeared to Peter and James and John in a very bright cloud. While he was still speaking, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So the very presence of God and the glory of God and the protection of God over his Son, his only begotten Son. Following Jesus' resurrection and numerous post-resurrection appearances, he was ascended into the heavens in a cloud. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." And just as the angel told the apostles that Jesus will return in a cloud and will take up the faithful with him, that is also stated by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Can you imagine what that will sound like? "With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. These and many other references use the clouds to indicate the presence and glory of God. And we know that God's glory and presence are also manifested through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he, that is Jesus, is the radiance of his, that is God, glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When Jesus came to earth, he was human, but he was also divine. And here the Hebrew writer says that they saw his glory. They saw that he was the exact representation of God's nature. They saw God on earth. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, notice, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just like we sang a few moments ago. And that you being rooted and grounded in love. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, get a little preview of what's tonight's lesson. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. At the beginning of the lesson, I said, where is God today? And I stated that God is here with us. He is. Can you imagine, just for a moment, imagine the glory of God sitting beside you. Imagine the glory of God exhibiting his presence in your life. He does. He gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, and in Jesus we have salvation. He gave us his Holy Spirit, and that Spirit dwells in us. He also had the Holy Spirit to give us the inspired word so that we know exactly what God wants us to do. So we're living with the very, very presence of God. We may not see the cloud that they saw, even though you may want to think about that every time you see a cloud. Think about the presence of God. But he doesn't manifest himself in that way today. He does it through faith, love in our hearts, acceptance of Jesus Christ, acceptance of the word that God has provided for us. That's how he has glorified himself to you and to me today. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Aren't you glad that we serve a loving, caring, sacrificing God? And to him today and every day, we praise him and sing hallelujah to his name. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope that you will. I didn't go all the way through. I was going to give you those words. We hope that you will respond in your heart or physically to know that the presence of God is here with you today. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants you to be his child forever and ever. If there's anyone that we can pray for, or if anyone needs to be baptized into Christ, won't you come as we stand and sing?